Friends, grace and peace to you, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have you all with us this morning in this festive season in the life of the church. If you're a visitor or a guest, we're especially glad you're here and hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage members and visitors alike to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign them and pass them to your neighbor and greet any new faces or folks you don't know during the peace or after worship. It is a busy season in the life of the church, so I draw your attention to the announcements in the inside cover of your bulletin and a calendar of upcoming events near the back. Also, if you'd like to know more that's going on in the church during Advent, we still have some of these booklets out in the commons if you'd like a list of everything in one place. There are a few announcements I want to highlight for you this morning before we continue, however. The second is that we have our Christmas pageant next Sunday, so any of you families with children who haven't yet gotten a costume, those are upstairs, and if you'd like help or direction with that process, please speak with Carol Houston or Katie Scott. We will be rehearsing the pageant for you families at 9:30, from 9:30 to 10 tomorrow, or next week on Sunday as well. And last, we have the last of our Deo Clinic benefit concerts of the season this afternoon at the church at 2 o'clock. Please come and join in some Christmas music and support that important ministry. The Deo Clinic provides medical services to populations in our community that have limited access. Also, for any of you who like to help but can't come to the concert, we're looking for folks to rearrange the chancel immediately following worship. So if you have a few minutes to spare, please meet us up at front so we can move some furniture around. Now I'd like to invite any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Yes, Fran. Thank you. I think gifts are in the back, and are we going to pick up after worship today? Okay, so please make sure that you can move gifts out there and out of the church. Are there others? Yes, Anil. Thank you. We look forward to seeing everyone at the lunch after the Christmas pageant next week. Others, yes, Jean. It is a joy to, well, one more.
We have multiple stations set up
Thank you for all of our volunteers, all your hard work in preparing this house for Christmas this season. Let us continue that work of preparation as we join together in worship. Let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand as you're able for the Advent Litany. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing ourselves for the days when nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. For all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, come, Lord Jesus. For the poor and the hungry, come, Lord Jesus. For victims of violence and injustice, come, Lord Jesus. For those who are persecuted because of your name, come, Lord Jesus. For those who have no voice to sing your praise, come, Lord Jesus. For the sake of the creation you love, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. God of grace, always faithful to your promises, the earth rejoices in hope of our Savior's coming and looks forward with longing to his return at the end of all things. Prepare our hearts to receive him when he comes, for he is Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you. may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ has died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps in our time together in worship. Good morning, come on down. Hello. Come on, Charlie, have a seat. It's good to see you all this morning. Are you getting excited for Christmas yet? Yeah, that's one of the things we talked about last week. I know I'm excited too. You know, there was one really special thing that we got to do this week in getting ready for Christmas. It was we got to play in the snow. Did you see the snow the other day? Did you get to play in the snow? Two other days? What kinds of things did you do? What kinds of things did you do in the snow? You made a snowman? An igloo and a snowman? That's a great idea.
It melted.
And you had a snowball.
Me and my dad caused that balloon.
you caused avalanches. I hope everyone's okay.
Yeah. Was,
okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. We had a great time outside. We did the same things. We had a snowball fight. We made a snowman. Do you like being outside? Yeah, the snowman melted. I think it's fun to get to play outside in the winter for a change. I know we like to go, in the summer we talk about going to the beach, and sometimes when the weather's nice we play in the park, but even when it's kind of cold and snowy and messy outside, we like to play there too. So we're going to learn about a word today that's kind of similar to all these things. It's called wilderness. Have you heard the word wilderness before?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what it means?
Kind
of like the woods, yeah. It's kind of like being outside, maybe being in a place. Smokey lives in the wilderness. Yeah. Is there Smokey the bear?
Like Smokey on the mountain.
Yeah, and when it's Smokey on the mountain, that's kind of in the wilderness too. Well, in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about someone who lived in the wilderness.
And Mama loved the
water. Yeah.
I think it might be Jesus.
It was Jesus' cousin John, that's right.
There's
water.
In me and
oh, that's okay. Let's all hold still. We're almost done here. We're going to hear about John, who lives in the wilderness. So can you imagine living in your igloo or living in the avalanche or living outside in the cold and the snow? That's just what John did. In those places where we like to plan and visit, that's where he lived. But you know what he said? He said, that's just where Jesus is coming. You know, we expect Jesus to find Jesus or to find God in a place like that, outside, far away from other people. We don't, but that's one of the things we learn about Advent, is that we never know how we're going to find God or how we're going to find Jesus. So the people of God in Israel didn't expect Jesus to come, or didn't expect God to come as a little baby, and didn't expect Jesus to be born and laid in a manger, all those stories we know, but that's just how God comes in a surprising way, in a surprising place. So maybe next time you're outside playing in the snow or playing with your friends, you wonder, maybe God will show up to you too. And that's just what we're excited for this season here. Will you have a prayer with me? Let's put our hands together. Will you repeat after me?
Dear God,
we thank you for coming to
us
in Jesus Christ.
Help us to prepare
even when he appears
in surprising ways.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, sit still for just a minute while we bless you. So we dismiss our children to their time together in worship. Let's bless them saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within up every voice but our own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Listen for God's word. Comfort. O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill may be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level. And the rough plains a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Get up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm, and gather them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the beginning chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Last week we mentioned that there's no Advent story in Mark, or no Christmas story. There are no shepherds or angels or wise men. But we begin with an announcement that God is coming. John the Baptist is in the wilderness, and the people discover that God comes even in the most unexpected places. From the Gospel of Mark, listen for God's word to you. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism for repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we wait in hope of the coming of Jesus Christ. Be with us in our expectation and preparation. Be with us wherever we are, even in the lonely and wilderness places in our souls. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. When I say Grand Canyon, you have a picture that forms in your head immediately. Most anyone who has ever been to the Grand Canyon promises that it's the one place that does not disappoint that picture. It's the one place where your expectations will be met. The scale and the view of such an immense precipice, a deep channel cut by water and by time, swallows up your disappointment. It's an awe-inspiring place. You wait, you look, you hold your breath. Or so I'm told. I've never been there. This kind of beauty means that naturally everyone wants to see it. So for summers untold, families have packed up minivans and trekked across the country out west and basked in the glory of this unforgettable view. Chances are most of you in this room might have a picture of your family there as well. And there's an iconic place in the Grand Canyon called Horseshoe Bend. It's a site in Arizona where the Colorado River makes a dramatic 180-degree turn in a 1,000-foot canyon. And the view is postcard perfect. There are postcards of it, of course, and so people can't help but take their own picture of the site. They take the picture and they post it on Facebook or on Instagram, and then more people come. 5 years ago, the Overlook at Horseshoe Bend welcomed about 1,000 visitors a year. As popular as it was, or as beautiful as the picture was, it was remote and hard to get to. Now, after getting notoriety from all these pictures, though, the site expects about 4,000 tourists every day. So the photojournalist Brent Knepper reported on this phenomenon, and after doing some research, he determined that Instagram was to blame. Such incredible pictures must be posted, and every time someone posts a picture, more people would mark it and want to go to just that spot. Rinse, repeat, then you get 4,000 visitors a day. So suddenly, there are highways in the wilderness, because this is happening all over the country. Formerly solitary sites are building parking lots and observation decks and restrooms, dealing with litter and crime. A scenic bridge in the backwoods of Washington was torn down after too many people went there. Other sites have new roads leading to them. The presence of people threatens all this unspoiled splendor. If there are so many people around, or if modern conveniences are so plentiful and connect you to the outside world, even if you're in this wilderness, does it even count as wilderness anymore? How does it change the experience of people viewing, or how does it change us who are outside but might want to go there ourselves? So this word wilderness is a loaded term in the Bible. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years to repent and prepare themselves to receive the promised land that God had given them. Jesus began his ministry in the wilderness. Paul escaped into Arabia for a time to prepare for his. The word wilderness also appears in less momentous places. This is where prophets hide from political authorities. This is where travelers receive visions by the roadside. This is where Jesus holes away to escape the press of the crowd during his ministry. Ultimately, wilderness serves an important purpose. In the wilderness, there isn't distraction or political intrigue. There isn't ambition or conflict. There isn't company or community. There isn't safety or even basic necessity. There isn't really anything at all. That's what makes it wilderness. In the Bible, people retreat to the wilderness to realize that they are ultimately dependent on God for everything they have. People go to the wilderness to meet God. In many places in Scripture, as if to emphasize this point, translators change the word from wilderness to lonely place. It doesn't have to be beautiful or scenic. It doesn't have to be insta-worthy or even that much having to do with nature. The lonely place is where you go to meet God. And we all know that lonely places can be quite close to us, even here in the middle of town. This kind of expectation of meeting God is what drove people like John into the wilderness. John was probably part of a splinter group of Jews who wanted to live outside the mainstream of society so they could practice their faith in a more meaningful way. So they joined these communities out in the backwaters, and they knew that things were not right with the world, and so they wanted to look for signs that God was coming, and where did God come to the wilderness? They were removed from all the things that could distract them from God, from politics and intrigue and disorder of everyday life. So we learn things about who John is in our story today that point to just this kind of different life. John is outside the mainstream. He wears funny clothes. He eats locusts and honey. He doesn't journey from any place we know of. It doesn't say John is from here. John just appears in the wilderness. That's what it says. It's like he was always meant to be there. John is unique, one of a kind. He's a strange person in a lonely place. Except all of a sudden, that wilderness is becoming full of people. The people of Israel know that something special is happening, so they want to show up and listen to John and hear what he has to say about God. So John preaches in the wilderness, and the people come. There are different sorts of people, city people, country people, rich, poor. Some come from the surrounding villages and the countryside of Judea. Other people come from Jerusalem and the heart of the people and commerce and faith and piety, a great diverse city. Different gospels point out that religious leaders and soldiers go to visit John too, all to hear these words from this ordinary or strange man. Ordinary people like us would go out. It doesn't matter where you're from. Everyone is going out to meet John. This wilderness, this lonely place, is full of people. All these people want to go and find God too. And soon they're going to discover God in a very different way. They all want to find God in a lonely place. The lonely place doesn't have to be a forest path or the Grand Canyon or a view of the mountains. It doesn't have to be in the Judean countryside or by the River Jordan. Every once in a while, we experience lonely places right where we are. Most of the time, we probably think of lonely places as something bad. None of us wants to be lonely. None of us wants to live without people or relationships or things that give our lives love and meaning and purpose. Loneliness is what happens in depression. Loneliness is what happens in grief. Loneliness is what happens when we struggle with something that divides us from other people and no one else can understand. No one wants to be in a lonely place. So how do we reconcile the fact that the one place where people have gone to meet God is the one place that we could probably do without? Even if we think of lonely places in a more positive light, because who doesn't love a little peace and quiet every once in a while? Do we even have lonely places anymore when so much of our lives are governed by interruptions as the phone dings with another notice or picture of Horseshoe Bend, even when we're out in the wilderness, right in the lonely places of the world? Surely this is not what Isaiah promised when he called for a highway in the wilderness. I've mentioned a couple of times before the philosopher Blaise Pascal, who claimed that the entire source of all of our unhappiness comes from the fact that we are unable to sit quietly by ourselves in a room for 10 minutes. Try it sometime. How long before you reach for your phone or check Instagram? How long before you even think about it? Researchers have discovered that phones actually rewire your brain chemistry, and so you get the same kind of satisfaction of looking at your phone or a picture as you do from getting a meal or some food. There are people whose job it is in the world to think of ways to keep us totally attentive to that device. And that's just one example. I'm a curmudgeon about technology, I know, but I think it's a good example of what affects us all the time. Because there is a concerted effort to feel focused or attentive to everything around you all the time, especially during this season of the year. Where is the lonely place in December? We're busy. We have shopping lists and invitation lists and gifts to buy and parties to go to. And there are Christmas concerts and annual treats to bake and errands to run, all trying to do everything we possibly can to prepare for Christmas and maybe unwittingly avoid the lonely places in our lives. This means that we spend all our time getting ready to celebrate this holiday of God's coming in Jesus Christ, doing everything we possibly can to avoid the one place where God has promised to meet us. There is no public place you can go to at this time of the year without hearing Christmas music. There is no silent, lonely place anymore. So how do you get there? And would you want to? If you're struggling with grief this year, why would you want to open those wounds? Why not find reprieve in the activity of the season? Or if you're really excited about Christmas and you love all of the things that are happening this time of year, why not enjoy it to the fullest? Where is the lonely place around Christmas? Why do we even need it? The lonely place is called Advent. It's the unwrapped present. It's the breath before the first Christmas carol. It's the head bowed in prayer before the feast. Something is coming, something important, but not yet. We're still waiting. Advent is that time in the early morning before the rest of the house wakes up and everything is still and quiet, full of possibility. That's where God is coming. Advent is before you get yourself into the busyness of the day and you realize for just an instant what all of this is about, like it's grace breaking through the clouds. Advent is that time of day that you pray or light a candle or just notice the splendor of light that falls a different way this season. Advent is the lonely place where we discover the God who is waiting for us, both in the longing we feel for something different and in the pains we have that are yet to be healed. That's exactly where God is coming, into that lonely wilderness desert place. It doesn't matter if it's a pain that divides your soul in two and divides you from everyone else. It doesn't matter if it's a place where you retreat to find order in an otherwise chaotic world. The lonely place is where we prepare to receive God, because that's where God is coming. The Gospel of Mark quotes a well-known promise from the prophet Isaiah, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And we understand this voice belongs to John because Mark says so, and John is in the wilderness, and there is something different about what's happening here. A place that would have been desolate and empty is now full of life and people, animated by the pursuit of God. And it's as if that lonely place is all of a sudden the most popular place in town, the most popular place in the entire country. This is what it looks like when people are eager to find God. Frustrated by the absence of God in the world that we know, we look for God in the places we'd rather not go or the places we hadn't thought to. In the poor and in the hungry. In the downtrodden or the outcast or alone with our grief or disappointment. We enter the wilderness, sometimes we discover we're already there and God is the only one who can lead us out. So in the day of the prophet Isaiah, the people longed to return to their home in Jerusalem when they had been in exile. But they had to cross an inhospitable space to get there, a desert wilderness space. So how do you get to the place where you most want to go? Are you willing to go through the loneliness and the disappointment and the struggle to get to something better on the other side? Are you willing to go through the wilderness to get to God? So the people of Israel said yes, they wanted to go home. They wanted to receive the promise of God in a new way. They were ready to speed home even through the worst of the wilderness because that's where God was leading them. It would be like a highway through the loneliest place there was, but at the end of it was God. Wilderness, loneliness, stillness, peace, all of these things comprise an Advent spent waiting. We live in the time where there's a promise of more on the horizon, but the promises or the problems of the present hold us back. But a voice cries out in the wilderness. A highway will be there, right through that lonely place. That's where God is leading you, right through your grief or conflict or desperation, right through your heartbreak or anxiety for the day. In the loneliest place, when you're ready to cry out for something different, that's just where God has promised to meet you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In hope of the God who is coming, even now, let us join in the work of God in returning our tithes and our offerings. You may be seated. Before we pray, I draw your attention to the refrain as we wait for Christ's coming this season. Let us pray together the prayer of the ancient church, "Come, Lord Jesus." Also, before we pray, it saddens us to announce the death of Scott DeLay's grandmother, so please remember their family in your prayers this season. Let us join together in prayer. All thanks and praise to you, Holy God, for what you have given us. We're grateful for this community gathered to hear your word. We're grateful for the people who work tirelessly to tell it. We're grateful for our children and the joy they share and the promise of our future. We're grateful for the abundant gifts we receive from your hand. Receive these gifts and the offerings of our hearts as token of our love for you. And by your Spirit, use these gifts to sow your word into ready hearts, that others might receive the promise of this season with joy. Hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, we are here to meet you in this sanctuary. We read scripture, we sing songs, we enter into prayer to listen to your word, but sometimes it is difficult to hear. Sometimes in the busyness of our lives, other noises drown out the songs of angels and the music of heaven, and we lose ourselves in the world's activity. Help us find our way back onto yours. We pray that our way of weariness would turn into your paths of peace. We long to follow your way through the wilderness, through our own lonely places, to enter into the presence of Jesus and find your love for us in the manger. So hear our searching cry for you. Hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. God, we know that there are worse obstacles than these in the world. Today, we are especially mindful of the vulnerable in our community and our world. We remember that your parents were refused shelter and that you entered our world through a stable. We pray that these reminders would speak to our compassion and hospitality, that we would be mindful of those who have less than us and work for a world where the poor receive good news. And as we remember that the threat of violence followed the children of Israel, we are grateful for our safety here. But we pray for those churches whose cries for your presence mingles with cries in pain as it faces threats throughout the world. Give them your comfort, your healing, and your peace. Hear us as we pray. In our own lives, we need your healing and peace too. We each have burdens and pains that we nurse in this season, and we pray that you will come to that place of our deepest pain, that wilderness place. We know that it is a difficult time, especially for those who grieve, and so we ask for the comfort of your Spirit, especially for the DeLay family. Be with them as they grieve and renew your promise of love within them. We're mindful of those who are sick in need of your healing, for Max Miller and others. As we remember your promise to meet us in our place of pain, we pray healing peace on those who suffer or are fighting illness. And there are so many to remember, so we pray for them in the silence of our hearts. Hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Two candles are lit, Lord, but we hope for something more. Hear all our prayers as the age-old cry of your people, come, Lord Jesus. Expecting his coming, we pray in the way that Jesus teaches all his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Prepare for the coming of God this season, even in the lonely places and the wilderness places and the difficult places. That's where God is coming for you. So go in that hope, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.